Hey, 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 hey. Welcome back, libertarian socialists and wannabes. I'm back. Been a little while. Nope, haven't been really working on the book. Been pushing the book a little bit. Haven't really sold too much, so not sure if I'm going to get the hard copy or not. I mean, I did do a hard copy once of a book, Progressively Restoring American Greatness here, but you know, that book didn't really, wasn't that good, to be, you know, perfectly frank. That's why Libertarian Socialism, American Style, was born. Why I wrote the book, and I'm still kicking around doing a hard copy of that book, but, you know, it's expensive, it's a lot of work. If I just do the ebook and I find a typo, I can just fix it, put it back up there. If I go to the hard copy, it's a lot harder to pull that off. So it's a lot more work to actually get to the hard copy. Ergo, I want to sell some ebooks to fund that and convince me that I'm going to get some traction. But whether I get traction or not, it seems like I got to do this. I am compelled to do this. Not making any money here. And sometimes, you know, regular life gets in the way of coming out here and speaking out about issues of the day in my country. But it is the reason why I came back when I was out poking around in other countries thinking, not sure this country's going to make it. I just couldn't stay away. Could not leave my country to a bunch of screaming hyenas and let us tear ourselves apart. We don't have to do this. We don't have to tear ourselves apart. I'm old enough to remember a country that was a little more together, that had made it through the 1960s, and was kind of holding together. And then, over time, we've just degraded. We are at each other's throats. It's become a society where everyone's just trying to get what they can get, including the very rich, and they have a huge advantage when it comes to getting what they want. That's why you see so much corruption and so much in this country that doesn't seem to make sense, because money and the power brokers have gamed the system to their end. That's why we have another school shooting and nothing will be done, because too many profits will be caused all across the board, really, because the NRA is deeply tied to the Republican Party, which is actually deeply tied to a militarization of this country. Remember, the Parkland shooter was trained by the junior ROTC, which was funded by the NRA. There's a lot of money here. There's a lot of money in the defense budget. This country has spent $6 trillion. $6 trillion in the 21st century on military ventures across the globe. And very specifically, Iraq and Afghanistan. Very costly. And we're still there. Students of history will recall that World War II only went 4 years against a technologically equal or potentially even superior enemy, and here we are 20 years in, and we are unable to vanquish a technologically inferior enemy. What's going on? Why aren't people being fired? Why aren't there at least some, like, congressional hearings, maybe, about why we are still deployed out here across the globe in a global war, while we are here at home shooting at each other? More people have died in school shootings than have died in the military in these deployments right now. Our country is tearing itself apart, and the people, it's only the people, are going to save it, because the rich are building their own infrastructure right now. They've got their own government right now, and they are building their own infrastructure within the United States. All this pay-to-play stuff, all subscription, everything that happens all across the board in the United States now, that all really functions for upper and the rich, upper incomes and the rich, this functions for them. But for regular people, it's much more difficult. And there was, I once, just recently heard someone criticizing the recent tax cuts, tax reform for the very rich, and how the lower incomes only saw enough to maybe buy an iPhone, and how ridiculous that was. From my point of view, coming from the background that I come from, that's the ridiculous piece right there, is even comparing that to an iPhone, because those lower income people, they can't afford an iPhone, number one. Number two, the cost of ownership of an iPhone requires a subscription every month. So that's even more money out of their pockets. So that money's not going to go to an iPhone. It's going to go to putting food on the table and potentially rent. Now, in the red states, rents are lower. Things cost less. So these numbers that are being kicked around and pundits saying, oh, this tax cut's not really going to help people. People's paychecks are going to be bigger, and in red states, they're going to be big enough to have an impact. Some kind of impact. Something, as opposed to nothing, right? So when one side's doing nothing, and one side is giving away at least some money, whether or not a whole bunch of money is going to the rich people or not, at least some money went to this lower income. That's reality. That's reality in the lower incomes. And it's unfortunate that there's this division in this country that keeps each side from seeing the point of view of the other, especially the economic standing of the others. And it's terrible. It causes strife. It's why we're shooting at each other. Now, I'm old enough to remember a time in this country when there was a greater social safety net that allowed people to have a chance. And I went to a Head Start program when I was a very young child. I remember my grandparents worked in the Napa State Hospital. Now, these people were not criminals, nor were they dangerously insane, but they weren't going to really be functional members of society. And so they were wards of the state. And my grandmother worked with them in the laundry, and they did laundry at the state hospital. I met these people. They obviously had problems. I was just a young boy. Now I see those same people that I saw at the Napa State Hospital. I now see them on the street. I now see them living in tents along the river here in Orange County. I've watched that happen over the last 30 to 40 years. Those cuts that happened in the 1980s had an effect. Now, it took a while for it really to get rolling, but we can see the effect now. Homeless people everywhere. Now, some of these people obviously have drug problems, but some of these people are borderline individuals that would have been wards of the state in the past, but we no longer now see that as socially useful as a nation to take care of these people. It just costs too much money, is the calculus being done. Everything's money. Now, you can't run a nation as a business because it's a different deal. And when you run it as a business, then of course you see what's happening right now is it's pay for play all throughout the system. All throughout, the NRA can continue to exist. You won't see any gun regulation. Not that any of the gun regulations even being proposed would stop the school shootings, because I think that I should be clear on that. I don't think that an assault weapons ban is going to change anything, but I do think it's potentially a step in the right direction. And it's certainly not the Armageddon that's described by the right for the assault weapon ban of the 1990s to be brought back. It's not that bad. It's not going to end freedom. any more than freedom's already being ended. Because one has to ask why there are so many police in this country. Because again, I have a very long point of view because I'm old and poor. I'm old. I remember a time I was born in this country. John F. Kennedy was president. And I remember a time when everyone did not have an electronic bodyguard by their side. You know, everyone didn't have an electronic bodyguard right by their side where they could get a hold of police anytime they need the police. And if you got a flat tire in a bad neighborhood, you were going to have potentially a very hard time because you're going to have to find a set payphone somewhere or borrow someone, you know, knock on someone's door and allow them. They would allow you to use their phone so you could call for help or you could change the tire yourself. Whatever. What I'm saying is that in that day and age, of course, the need for so many police on the street was, it was a necessity. It was a true necessity to have boots on the ground, as it were, in the police forces. But now, with everyone having an electronic bodyguard, I'm wondering what exactly is going on and why are there so many police? Is it just because the police union is so powerful that they are able to increase their budgets, increase their payrolls while everything else is being cut? They're able to protect themselves from the automation that everyone else's job is subject to? Because it's beginning to look like, to me, that potentially drones could do just a fine job of policing in many, many areas. And of course, those drones needn't be lethally armed, and those drones would not fear for their lives in a way that kept getting citizens shot and beaten by the police because they were in fear. He's going for a gun, right? So they're in fear for their life and they kill the person. If you're sitting in HQ looking at a video feed, you could tase somebody maybe, or you could call for backup if there's a real need for a human intervention. But there's no longer this fear for one's life. Now, there's a huge surveillance society going on, and certainly there'd be a huge debate about how that would be deployed. Right now, the fact is politicians, the civil politicians, do not really know for sure what's going on in police forces. What equipment are they using? They are becoming ever more militarized. The Highway Patrol of my state refers to themselves even as a paramilitary organization. They have quite a bit of technology that they can deploy at their own will without subject to civilian oversight and claim classified protection of the devices they are using when the civilians ask, what are you doing, why are you doing it, how are you doing it? And it'd be one thing if people weren't getting shot up all over the place. But people are getting shot up all over the place. So obviously this isn't very effective, what we're doing with our police forces right now. If it was, there just wouldn't be so many shootings on the news, would there? I mean, there just wouldn't. We are a country that is tearing itself apart. Tearing itself apart. I have children. I want them to inherit a country. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm pushing these ideas, pushing and pushing these ideas, trying to get some traction. I'm probably just going to throw some more money at this book and put it out there. Even if you guys don't go buy it, I'm out there trying to build a brand. Here I am. I got my bumper stickers and such that I'm pushing around out there. I am trying really hard. And I've spent a lot of money. And I think that part of it has to do with just the arc of my experience. Born at the tail of the baby boom, labeled a baby boomer, and then labeled a Gen Xer, and now the parent of millennials. the arc of my experience from the state of California, I think, would surprise a lot of you. And it makes me feel like I do have some answers. Because much of what I'm pushing isn't really inspirational, I mean, or how do I want to say it? It's not rocket science. I'm actually just pushing a lot of ideas that used to have traction in this society. But this society is tearing itself apart and is no longer being run by the rule of law. And that's very bad for this nation, because it is one of the reasons why there was so much investment, why there's such an engine, economic engine that the United States is that there was this feeling that there was true rule of law over here. You went to court and you got a fair ruling. That is becoming less and less obvious to the rest of the world. Look at what's going on with ZTE, this Chinese company that allegedly, for security concerns, said we weren't going to share technology with this phone company anymore. And then some back-channel communication between Beijing and Washington, D.C. And number 45 is out there saying we need to come up with a fix for ZTE because, after all, it's costing so many jobs in China. Number 45 is talking about costing so many jobs in China. What's going on? How is that making America great again? And if a phone, which is a pretty high-tech device, and sharing technology with that phone company, I could see it being, yeah, there might be some classified technology you wouldn't want to share, potentially, I guess. Maybe you could play that card, to create a tariff, or just to shut it down. But in the case of cars, and the tariff on cars, and the tariff on steel, and things like that, that number 45 has also been pushing in this trade war, it's hard to see the security concerns there, but yet those continue to get pushed, and the ZTE deal looks like the country's going to be redeemed, and Chinese jobs are going to be saved. Now maybe this part of the deal for North Korea, can't say. We don't really know what's going on. That lack of transparency is very, very bad. That lack of transparency throughout our government is very, very bad. And that's why something like the Electoral College needs to continue to be. The old days, communication took a long time, and so the Electoral College made some sense in that you'd have a representative from each of the precincts or districts, electoral districts, come to Washington, D.C., and really represent the people that this is what happened in my district, because information traveled a lot slower. And now I think the Electoral College is starting to make a lot more sense again, because we're seeing this divergence between the popular vote and the Electoral College. And unlike Connecticut's solution, which is to give all their electoral votes to whatever happens in the popular vote, that probably isn't the fix. The fix is for us to allow each electoral district to go with how their voters voted, instead of this winner-take-all that almost all of the states do. When that first started happening in the early 19th century, the Founding Fathers were quite mortified, because it was the political parties that were changing the way the government worked for their own political ends. This duopoly between the Republicans and the Democrats, that is something that's going to have to end. And the Electoral College, allowing the Electoral College to truly function in this winner-take-all stuff, that matters. That helps. It breaks the duopoly. Now, what I mean about the importance of the Electoral College is that each one of these little electoral college districts is a discrete little area that can be audited, right? It could be audited. So if we were to take some technology like, say, blockchain, and we were to use blockchain to give people some kind of address or identifier, blockchain identifier of their vote, so that they could then look it up on the blockchain and know that their vote was being counted a certain way, then This allows the people to audit their own electoral district if they choose. And all the published returns could be matched if the people chose to do that. If the people got together, they could actually audit the vote. And that transparency would make it a lot harder to game these elections, because I think that if you look at the voting machines and the records of the companies that have been building these voting machines, there's a lot of loopholes in there that don't exist in financial implementations of software. So why are these loopholes existing in election software when we know how to close them down? Well, it's because the duopoly wants to game the system. So talk of ending the Electoral College, it's a bad idea. Because once the Electoral College is gone, we no longer have our canary in the coal mine that shows us that the will of the people is being thwarted through a gaming of the elections. But these discrete little electoral districts allow for the potential for greater transparency and a real auditable election. So, don't let people tell you we don't need the Electoral College, because we need it. And we don't need it to be winner-take-all, or a popular vote winner, that's where our Electoral College votes go, because that breaks the Electoral College. And once the powers that be realize how the system's going to work, it's all going to be popular vote. The popular vote goes one way or another. We no longer have any districts to audit, at least not easily. So these things matter. These things are in the book. Lots of stuff in the book, Libertarian Socialism American Style. And you can get it at libertarian-socialism.org. Libertarian-socialism.org. Yes, it is. There it is, right there. Libertariansocialism.org. And buy the book. Look at the ideas. It's your future. I'm old.